this last week before Pentecost, we're being given glimpses again into the meaning of our life in the church. And so we have today, in the first reading, for instance, Apollos, who was a very learned man, probably he is from Alexandria, stated in the text. Now, when Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the country. He went east, right across from Corinth, along the Ignatian Way, and he arrived at Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they answered him, "We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." That's the condition of a lot of the church. And so then, how were you baptized? With the baptism of John. Now this is intriguing, because it shows that our Lord, when he began his ministry, was following John. And that his own the baptism that he went out and told everybody to do, his disciples, you see, gives a fullness to John's prophecy and his rite, R-I-T-E. You know, his. And so they're now baptized. You see, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, they were baptized into the fullness of all that Jesus Christ had done. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Normal. You see, there are about 12 men. Luke tells us this to show us the growth in God's plan for his people. So these Ephesians were, these 12 men were good people, pagans, who had heard about John's baptism to get ready someone, and they believed. They were probably what they call proselytes. You know, they were pagans who had already been won over to one true God and to a Jewish morality, which would be a lot different than the morality around them. But there's more. There's more. And that's what this text is all about. There's more. And so we face this challenge, you see. People who are baptized today are baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the fullness of that grace has sometimes not appeared. Often when you get an adult ready in the right environment for baptism and they're baptized, they too begin to pray in tongues. They too begin... which is a sign that the Holy Spirit has been able to take over not just the soul, if you will, or the spirit, but the whole person and begin to praise God. This is very important. And that's why we have to tell people about this. Now, theologians have a problem. You can only get baptized once. And that's true. So this is not a second baptism. It's the opening up of the full potential of baptism. Raniero Cantalamessa had a good theological way to look at this. It's what they call reviviscence. The sacrament can revive those that are, you know, that imprint a character. For instance, if the day I was ordained I was in mortal sin, I was ordained. But the grace of it lies dormant. until I confess my sins and am absolved, and then the race of the sacrament comes alive. In a similar way, not everybody's in mortal sin, but in a similar way, there's more to baptism. And until somebody has an experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ, their baptism isn't complete. This is not like icing on the cake. This is the cake. And you say, oh my gosh, we got a lot of work to do. Absolutely. It's wonderful in other cultures. You see, I was at this beautiful, I'll tell you about it probably next week, this beautiful meeting of about 200 people who go on mission. You know, it's called Renewal Ministry. So it's founded and still run by Ralph Martin and a group. I was there to give a talk and to preach at the Mass. And they all gave reports. And there are about 30 men who are called country coordinators. And they, maybe five of them, look after Africa, China, Eastern Europe, all over. And they go, and they preach, and they strengthen the catechists, and the bishops are delighted with them. You know, and they come. And what happens? They all take films, you know, movies. And you see people all over the world singing, praising, delighted. It's so beautiful. Normality is returning to the church. It's normality. It was such a thrill to hear these. And they're, most of them, they can only give a few weeks of their life to this. Others are benefactors, they give as much money as they can because they don't charge wherever they go. And it's quite beautiful to see, you know, as everyone is saying, the church is going south. You know, there, you see this in Africa. Exuberant, needing training, needing, but exuberant. Men and women singing and dancing and praising God, being healed, being delivered. Lynn's been on two of these trips. It was just so beautiful to see. And to see, you know, normality coming back to the church and to be encouraged. We have a treasure. Now we have to have the wisdom and the courage to spread it. Here things are more complex because we begin with no sense of the transcendent. There, even when they're pagans, they have a sense of something greater than themselves that we don't have. Our Western culture has put a ceiling on that. And that's why we're in such trouble. So, it's what's going on here, you see. We didn't receive just the baptism of John, no. But it's like that. We never heard there was a Holy Spirit. Tell me about him. Who's the Holy Spirit? And then the sign is this joy and this awareness and the desire to praise God. And with that, you see healings, deliverances by the thousands. By the thousands. It's very beautiful. And you can be sure that most of the bishops are thrilled to death. They invite them back. And they were just in China. And these are regular Sunday golfers, you know what I mean? They're lay people with families, and they go. And in China, they were in a house ministering, and the neighbors sent word, the police are coming. So they all went and hid in another house. But that could have been difficult. China is right now a very amazing place. You know, the state-run church will let Roman Catholics come and teach in their seminary. A friend of mine does it all the time. But then 200 miles away, they're putting him in jail. It's wherever Satan can get his way, they go to jail. When he can't get his way, they're teaching in the seminary. But this is beautiful. We should be encouraged, but also in the literal sense of encouraged. We have been given such a treasure. And so, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. That's the sign of the Holy Spirit. You know, St. Thomas, learned St. Thomas, in a part of the Summa, it had to be put together from his writings because he died. He wouldn't finish the Summa, if you remember. He had such an experience of God. He said, everything I've written is straw. I'm not going to write anymore. And the brethren said, Thomas, finish, finish. He said, no. So they took his writings and finished it for him, like you see. But in his writings, talking about the sacrament of confirmation, in every sacrament there's matter and form, we call it, right? There's something, there's bread and wine, and then there's the words of institution. So the matter is the laying on of hands. But Aquinas says, if the bishop is going to lay hands on them and they begin to pray in tongues, you can skip that because they already have the matter. Good old sober St. Thomas in the 13th century still got it. So let's pray for ourselves, for this Pentecost. This gift is coming to the church again. And let us pray and be filled with expectation. The Lord must help us. As things get more difficult, we need his help more and more.